Today we're reflecting on our own baptism and the meaning of baptism. And Jesus submits to baptism, the baptism of John, and then is the Holy Trinity reveals itself at that moment that he's baptized. When a person is baptized as an adult, they go into the water and all their sins are washed away. This is a great gift that is given, and it's only given once in a lifetime, and that is baptism. It's never necessary to re-baptize somebody. But when one has been washed clean, then later, if one needs to be cleansed again, what sacrament do we have for that? Reconciliation is a kind of re-baptism, a symbolic re-entering into the waters of baptism, and we're truly washed clean there. And so that's a great gift. Since Vatican II, in the Catholic Church, we've had a renewal of immersion baptism. It's not necessary, but it's a beautiful thing. We do it once a year at the Easter Vigil. And it's always, if you've never seen one, it's really a good thing to see. Some who have been baptized as adults have had that wonderful experience of going in as one person and coming out as a child of God. And that's a really great gift. However, when a child is baptized, a baby, I have a nice prop right here to help me with this. When a baby is baptized, obviously it doesn't have any sin to wash away, does it? Except for original sin. Original sin. What is original sin? Some people don't believe there is such a thing as original sin. I can tell you that anybody who's worked in the lost luggage department at Christmas time knows about original sin. And I'm trying to think if I mentioned this before. I don't think I have because nobody's gotten the right answer in any of the masses. But we all tend to, when we're in a pinch, human beings tend to react in similar ways. Not all of us, but we do tend to use the same sorts of events or excuses for what we do. What I mean is that when the pressure is put on us, sometimes we fall in certain directions. If you have lost your luggage and you're standing in front of me, or you're on the phone with me, which is what I did, what might you tend to say in order to make me speed up or perhaps put you have priority on your particular inconvenience? Hypothetically, I don't mean anybody here's ever done this. Let me see the supervisor. You're talking to him. Next question. That some people say that, but that's after they find they're not going to get too far with me. What would the next? What might somebody say? There we go. Who said that? Medicine. There's medicine in my bag, and I need it right away. I think I heard that in about one third of all the people I talked to. But what's more interesting is what kind of medicine is going to be in your bag? I heard it over here. Vicodin? All right, let's see if there's anybody. It was a nun I used to teach me. Whenever she got an answer that was wrong, she'd put it on the very tip of the blackboard and say, well, that's very interesting. We'll put it way up here. That means, where are you wrong? Insulin, thank you very much. Did you know that at least one third of all the people in the United States use insulin? It was always the same medicine. There is insulin in my bag. Some people were dumb enough not to pack any of it in their carry-on. But I always said, please, go to the hospital immediately. We'll pay for the entire emergency bill. We certainly don't want you to die. I never got a bill. It's one of those things people say. I know, sure, in some cases it was correct. I don't know which was which, but it's one of those things, that's kind of a default lie. And I guess one of the morals is if you're going to make something up, at least be creative, but that's an example of original sin. Because original sin, when a baby's baptized, of course, Christ washes away our sins in his blood. And the water, we're born by water and the Spirit. But as we get older, we pass the age of reason, and we begin to make choices for ourselves. Right around the age of 7, we're 6 or 7, right in there, we begin to make moral choices. And they become personal sins. They start with small sins and then get bigger. We tend to fall back into that area that is not God's will. And we need a course correction. Every day we should make a course correction called an examination of conscience. Where did I go wrong? What did I do right? Our baptismal promises are a way for us to have a check and a balance on our life and to remember that we're in the middle of spiritual warfare here in this world. This is not a cakewalk. We are here, we're doing battle with the forces of evil within and without. And we need the armor of God to put on in order to be children of God and children of light. So today we have to see what sort of armor God gives us in our baptisms. Now, when a child or an adult is baptized, the very first thing that we do is we trace a cross on the child's forehead. So if I can borrow you for a minute, Jesus, you are putting on weight. There's a little baby Jesus under the altar that I'm holding up. Somebody's listening that is not here. And we trace a cross on the child's forehead or adult. And I say, I've done this 1,000 times and now it's blanked out. I now claim you for Christ our Savior by tracing the sign of the cross on your forehead. And I invite your parents and godparents to do the same thing. So, we who have been baptized are claimed for Christ. We wear his name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, on our foreheads. We see this in the book of Revelation. All the elect wear the name of God on their foreheads. All of you who have been baptized have this great gift. And what we do when we come into a Catholic church, we put our hand in the holy water. It's not magic. We're remembering our own baptism. And that baptism has power. The water itself doesn't have the power. It's the faith that we use. This is a reminder of my baptism, especially if we were baptized as babies. I now retrace that sign of the cross on my forehead and the rest of me as a sign that I belong to Christ. It's a deep renewal. And sometimes going out to remind us for the coming week that we're going to do battle in the name of the Lord. We're going to use the gifts that he's given us. So today, as we remember our baptisms, we also are going to be signed with God once again. I brought my baptism ritual with me so we could kind of go through a little bit of it together. When a child is baptized, the child obviously does not have faith. So we are baptizing them with the faith of the parents, and the parents are promising, and godparents, to teach the faith to their children. But baptism is a seed that requires watering and fertilizing in order to grow. If you've been baptized and you don't water and fertilize the seed of faith within you, it's going to stop growing. It may even die. The baptism does not go away, but it may not have enough fruit in your life. We have to keep working at it. So our Lord calls us then to remember how precious our baptism is. There's kind of an interesting phenomenon that I've been reading about in which some of the people that they've been renouncing their baptism, you know. They go through something called a de-baptism ritual because they want to live any way they darn well please, and they don't want God telling them what to do. And that's a very foolish thing to do. Baptism is the entrance into eternal life. It's the beginning of our journey that ends at the throne of God. It reminds me a little bit of when I was young. I was in college. Give you an idea how old I was. I went to a movie in which I had to stand in line for an hour and a half to get in. It was either opening day or the second day it was out. Guess which movie it was? Star Wars, exactly. I saw it at the Hollywood Cinerama Dome, and there were a couple of movie stars came, so we were rewarded for our long wait. But and I was near the front of the line. But our baptism is a kind of a ticket. It's an entrance ticket. And while we're waiting in line, some people get tired of waiting. They don't think there's a movie theater. They don't think there's going to be a movie. They give their ticket away. They go off and have a good time. But when the line starts to move, they're going to want to be in line. Now, unlike a movie line, if we repent and come back, Christ will let us come back in. but only until the line moves. Once we go inside, then it will be too late. So our baptism is very precious. So our Lord then seals us with the Holy Spirit like Christ was, and then we put on our white baptismal garment. This is a sign that we've been washed clean. It's the same garment I wear here and same that the altar servers are wearing. And then we light our candle, which we do, we light it off the Easter candle right here, and that's a symbol of our faith as well. We keep it burning brightly. And we do this by our daily renewal of our baptismal promises. One of the things our Lord talks about in the scriptures a great deal is that we live in a world that has evil. There is something within us that pulls us off track, and there's something outside of us that wants to pull us off track, and that's a personal evil. We call him Satan. In our baptism, we renounce the evil one and all his works and all his empty promises. If we don't know our enemy, we're going to fall again and again into it. We have a remedy in Christ when we are doing battle. He gives us the scriptures so that we can use them with authority. He gives us the sacraments, which shows us his presence. He gives us the sign of his grace, which is our baptism. We renew that every time we come to Mass. Today, in place of the creed, I want to finish by having us renew our baptismal promises that for most of us someone else said for us when we were young, and now we ourselves have to claim Christ for our Savior again. And so the response to this is the same response that many of you made when you got married, which is, I do. All right, so it's not easy it's easy to say and it's hard to do, you know? Do you reject sin so as to live in the freedom of God's children?
I do.
Do you reject the glamour of evil and refuse to be mastered by sin?
I do.
Do you reject Satan, father of sin and prince of darkness?
I do.
Do you believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth?
I do.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was born of the Virgin Mary, was crucified, died, and buried, rose from the dead, and is now seated at the right hand of the Father?
I do.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and everlasting life?
I do.
This is our faith. This is the faith of the Church. We are proud to profess it together through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.